much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, let's do our best. Remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What do you think might be in here? It has a long handle, and most people would never expect to see such a big one. It surely is a big one. Do you have a special something that you take to bed with you? Does it help you to go to sleep when you hold your special something?
Boy, I'd love to see her do that. And the smell of it was so great, too. So many fine things that you can do with your fingers and your hands.
Oh, look at all the colors on it. Oh, it is big. And you're going to go up in that?
Do you ever get dressed up in somebody else's clothes for play? Hi, neighbor. Had a little trouble with my zipper there. Mr. McFeely came over here last night and asked if he could do something fun for me. A kind of secret, he said. Just one thing before you go. I'd like you to know how grateful I am for you. There's only one in this wonderful world.
Sing it if you know.
You are special.
And now,
some people call it a mouth organ because you blow in there.
Our feature presentation.
Mr. Rogers, who, of course, was a kids' television host for 75 years, everything he says is dirty.
Perv. Total perv.
It's bizarre. We discovered this a long time ago. Bean had a bunch of clips of it, and you hear a clip, and you go, okay, that could be construed as dirty. And then the next one, you go, well, yeah, that certainly could, too. Every single thing he said.
It was yes.
Really weird.
I think we just figured out the truth.
You think he's actually a perv?
And
he's
total perv.
Trying to make it sound good for kids?
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Thursday morning. We have a good show for you today. I'm going to kick it off with a dumb guy story.
Excellent.
A man was charged with false reporting. He called the police and said his house was being robbed. 3:13 in the morning. The officers went out to his apartment and they checked on the burglary. And what they realized was, but five officers, by the way, showed up. What they realized was 24-year-old Kevin Gaylor.
His name is Kevin.
Maybe. reported the robbery. And then they said, hey, who's robbing? What's the problem here? And apparently what happened is this dude had met a chick on Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, you should come over to my house because my girlfriend's gone. And then the girlfriend showed up at the same time as the chick from Craigslist.
So he said the chick from Craigslist was a robber?
I think he called the police just to get some police there because he just figured everything was going to go south quick.
Oh my God,
the Craigslist girl is here. My girlfriend's home. What do I do? I'm being robbed. He called 911.
Man.
Told him he was being robbed. And he was charged with false reporting. I don't know what that charge is, but reporting, you know,
making a false report.
Crazy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You don't want two people to arrive at your house at the same time. You need to schedule better. If you're going to cheat on your girlfriend, I think this is the takeaway from today's show. If you're going to cheat on your girlfriend, schedule better.
Make sure she's where she's supposed to be.
Right.
Right.
Call first and go, hey, are you going to be there for a while?
About an hour?
Yeah. I only need an hour. You leave early. You only leave an hour early.
And the other side of the lesson, which you've always said, is don't come home early.
Don't come home early.
That's the other side. Like, nobody did the right thing in this case.
Correct. Correct. You don't want to know what's going on. Just live with your head in the sand. That's my motto.
Because things will be
better. Anytime you come home early, that every one of these stories has so-and-so came home early. And then you found out what was really going on. Now, some people can't take not knowing. I'm good with it. I'm good. I'm just saying, you if you have to drive around until it's time for you to be home and then show up at home.
Absolutely.
That's the message today. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Omar's trying to get us to come to a couple's baby shower, and that's not going to happen.
That's called know your audience.
Correct.
I don't even know why he would ever ask.
You know, it's funny because he came in here and he was super weird about it and quiet and mumbling.
This is not Omar.
Didn't really want to ask anybody because he knew... I'll tell you why, because he knew what his response would be if any of us asked him to come to a baby shower.
I know what his response would be, too, and you can't even say it on the radio.
I can't even say it. It would have involved bodily functions, though.
Yes.
I know that. So we're going to talk to his wife in about a half hour. We also have Christina Ricci.
Yes.
Who's on Pan Am. I don't know if you've seen that show or not. Uh-huh. I think they've had about four episodes, I believe. She's going to be on the program. We also have Davis Guggenheim, who has made a documentary that's going to air this weekend on U2 called U2 From the Sky Down. And it just looks really fascinating. Anytime they do a behind the scenes with a musician or a band or somebody, it's always fascinating. That latest one with the Foo Fighters was great.
Oh, that was really good, yeah.
And this guy knows what he's doing. He did Inconvenient Truth and other, you know, other big movies. So he's gonna talk to us about the U2 documentary. Can't wait for that. Dr. Drew will be on the program today.
Excellent. I have questions.
He has answers. He's the only person I know that can answer any question that exists.
Pretty much.
I really just... you fill in for Loveline sometimes, you take some calls, and you just go, yep, I got nothing. You look at Dr. Drew, he's right there, he's got an answer. I don't know if it's true or not, but he answers with confidence.
I believe him.
And I need to call BS on him pulling in Psycho Mike as an expert on his show last night. He pulled in Psycho Mike as
an expert.
Mike is an expert! Please. Now, yes, it had to do with addiction, but come on now. That's just not, that's not happening. Plus, we have Lake Bell on the program today. Thank you.
The bell for Lake Bell.
Yep. She's in How to Make It in America. And, I mean, I'm just going to say it now, so I'm not creepy then. She's done some pretty good nudity on that show. That's all. That's all I'm saying. We are going to check in with Weird Al, who will be in studio. Weird Al. He is a bizarre human being. He does wacky songs, but he's made a huge career out of it. And people,
he sells out wherever he goes.
He's cheesy, but people love him and just worship him. And he's coming in to tell us about some shows that he's doing in L.A. and O.C.
Okay.
So we got Weird Al on the program as well today. We will take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. That is the dreaded double clap of gayness. What? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:49. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I would like to nominate the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Week.
Fantastic.
That's your department there, and I know you look at all the big stories. I don't know if you heard about the...
So far, we've only had Citizen of the Day, so this would be a bigger honor.
It would.
All right.
Because all the people in the day would be in the running, I guess, and then the Citizen of the Week would probably win the grand prize.
I like it.
Which, of course, is some...
laughter.
Some processed meats from Hickory Farms. I think we give them a basket.
What's the...
Beef sticks.
What's the leftover stuff you have in Philly?
What's that?
Scrapple?
Scrapple. Yeah, we'll give you some scrapple if you're the Citizen of the Week. 28-year-old Sunday Moyo. Did you hear his story?
No.
He's a Zimbabwe man caught having sex with a donkey.
Oh,
have you heard about Sunday?
No.
Defended himself when police showed up and found him having sex in his backyard with the animal tied to a tree.
That isn't good for you.
Defended himself by claiming that the animal was actually a hooker he picked up in a nightclub.
Well...
who then turned into a donkey magically.
It's magic.
Wow.
He told the court.
Can they prove that's not true?
He paid $20 to hire a prostitute. I only came to know I was being intimate with a donkey when I got arrested. I don't know how she became a donkey.
That's the best defense I've ever heard.
Magic.
Is he acting as his own attorney?
I believe he is.
Oh, that's sweet.
Reportedly, members of the court were in stitches laughing hysterically. And Sunday Moyo, who did represent himself but did not enter a plea, remains in custody under psychiatric observation.
That's the best. And you know he probably really tried to sell it. He's in trouble, so.
I don't know. I pay $20 for this hooker. I get her home. I get her a drink. We have a little conversation. Start having sex. Next thing you know, she turns into a donkey. What am I supposed to do? So, it's like having sex with Khloe Kardashian.
Aww.
You wake up in the morning. I had sex with a donkey. When did this happen?
I gotta treat her like
that. All right, let's take a look at showbiz news. Once again, babies continue to be this year's hot accessory for celebrities. James Vanderbeek. Remember him from Dawson's Creek?
Sure.
And not much else.
Had a giant cereal box head.
Yep.
Remember that?
I do not want your life. I don't want your life.
He is celebrating the fact that he is going to have a second child with his girlfriend, Kimberly, pregnant with their second child. Mm-hmm. Couple just celebrated their daughter, Olivia, turning one. So things will be busy with two kids under two.
It's a dumb name.
Couldn't be more blessed, James says. Hey, wait a minute. I heard that.
Couldn't be more blessed.
Couldn't be more blessed. You could. You could have a career. I'm just saying.
You could
be a little bit more blessed. Remember Rachel Yucatel?
Yes.
She was the one who had the affair with Tiger Woods and actor David Boreanaz of Bones.
She was the one that was on Celebrity Rehab, too, right?
Mm-hmm. She was on Celebrity Rehab. She was also on The Amazing Race. No, no. She was auditioning.
Oh, I was going to say.
To be on The Amazing Race.
I watched that show. I didn't see her.
She and her now husband, Matt Hahn, they made headlines earlier this month when they got a quick marriage. People couldn't really explain why. Well, it turns out she's pregnant with her first child. She was auditioning for The Amazing Race, and you have to take a complete drug test, and they'd give you a full checkup to make sure you're healthy enough, I guess, to compete. And turns out that's how she found out she was pregnant.
She didn't even know.
No.
Wow.
Surprise, surprise.
And she's 8 months. That's the weird part of the story.
Yes. She's having a tiny little baby. And no surprise here, but Spirit Halloween store chain. These are the, you've probably seen, they pop up out of nowhere around this time of year. Like any empty store in a mini mall or something, they will just take over and rent it and fill it up with
huge
costumes
space.
And huge space.
Yeah.
Costumes and decorations and whatever for Halloween. They have announced that their best-selling costume this season is, indeed,
oh,
the Charlie Sheen costume.
Oh, man.
Sheen masks, wigs, winning T-shirts. Charlie's Goddesses T-shirts selling out around the country.
No.
Spirit Stores report. And here's the worst part. Charlie gets a cut of everything.
No, he doesn't.
Sell. All that stuff is authorized. All that stuff is licensed. So all the Charlie masks, all the Charlie wigs, the T-shirts, everything you're buying, people, just making Charlie Sheen richer.
If you walk around and say winning.
Oh, if I see you at a party and you come up to me.
I'm with Ralph.
And you're wearing a bowling shirt and a Charlie Sheen mask. And you
take
say,
you right
winning.
Down.
It's genital slaps for you. So just be prepared. You better invest in a Charlie Sheen cup. Because I'm hitting you with the back of the hand right in the genitals.
This is taking off like fire. I got a lot of tweets and I got a lot of emails from people saying genital slap. Mm-hmm. Like that's the end of their email. That's the
genital slap.
That's what happens.
That's what happens.
You miss. If you're not behaving, that's what's going to happen to you.
Genital slap. Fascinating story in Us Weekly magazine. I don't know who would think to compile this list. But they have a story here, which is about celebrities who babysat other celebrities.
Celebrities who babysat other celebrities.
You would think this would be a minuscule subsection of the population, right?
Yeah.
Turns out there's more than you might think. William H. Macy, when he was a young actor who needed cash, was a babysitter. One of the kids he would babysit, Jeremy Piven.
What?
How odd is that? Alice Cooper, legendary 70s rock star Alice Cooper.
Oh, no.
Welcome to my nightmare. He's got his own maze up there at Universal Halloween Horror Nights.
He does.
He was a babysitter when he lived in Toronto.
Yeah.
Babysat Keanu Reeves.
That's
isn't that crazy?
Beyond bizarre.
What is happening?
Michael Bolton, when he was a struggling singer, was a babysitter. Babysat Paula Abdul.
What?
How random is this?
How did this happen?
And Topher Grace. He was a babysitter when he was a young struggling actor in Darien, Connecticut. Used to babysit Chloe Sevigny.
Wow.
How weird.
It's not weird that they had to have jobs in their early career to be a babysitter, but that they babysat other celebrities. That, you know,
other kids who turned out to be celebrities.
That's bizarre.
That is bizarre. They really are their own little world, those celebrity actors. We don't belong there. We don't belong with them.
We don't. We're on the outside
looking
in. They're
up on Mount Olympus, and we're down here with their other plebes.
Yes, I'll babysit, but it must be someone who's going to go on to be famous.
I need a kid with potential. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, no, I have more time, don't I? Oh, screw it.
Either way.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Laker center Andrew Bynum. He is 24 years old today. He is not busy.
No.
He has a lot of time on his hands.
You know, it's not bad for a guy like him, though, because he's had a lot of injuries. And, yeah. You know, maybe it's time to
heal up.
Heal up.
I heard they had big talks yesterday.
They've had big talks every day.
That went up to like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then they're meeting again today, apparently. So they say there's some movement.
Well, I certainly hope so.
We'll have to wait and see.
I love it when they don't talk for 6 months, and then they go, hey, we stayed up till 3 a.m. last night.
Yeah. How about last year when you knew this contract was coming to an end? Maybe you could have had a few conversations then.
It's less impressive if you just sat out for a while and didn't have any talks.
TV personality Kelly Osbourne is 27 years old today. Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots and Velvet Revolver fame is 44 years old today. Jason Finn, drummer for Presidents of the United States of America, is 44 years old. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran. He's 53 years old. And comedian, actor, Python, John Cleese of the legendary group Monty Python. And, of course, had his own shows. Do you ever see Fawlty Towers?
No.
The sitcom Fawlty Towers?
Is that BBC?
BBC, Kevin. You should watch it. You would enjoy it. It's in color and everything. You would love it. And I think there's only like a dozen episodes. There's only like
a limited number of
episodes, but just hilarious. Fawlty Towers. He is 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are proud to welcome to the air Christina Ricci. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. The star Pan Am, which, of course, is on Sundays on ABC at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
Christina, tell us why you decided to take this TV show.
I wanted to do TV for a while, actually, and then this came along, and it just seemed kind of awesome. So I signed up.
You know, the period that Pan Am takes place in just makes me ache to time travel. It just seems like seems so much nicer to fly.
Yeah, well, it does seem it does seem like a much nicer period of time to fly in. Every time we're on the plane and we're doing the flights, I mean, it's like a cocktail party in the sky.
Yeah,
I don't remember a time when you dressed up and it was supposed to be like glamorous. That's what
everyone's drinking and smoking and. The whole point that what we're supposed to do as stewardesses is entertain everybody and make sure everyone's having fun.
That's real different than now.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Have some peanuts and shut up.
The surly crew I get on my flight does not want me to have fun at all.
No, we're supposed to be, our whole thing is like everyone's supposed to be having fun. We're supposed to sit next to passengers and talk to them and make sure everyone's having a good time.
Now, it was a good time for guys. It wasn't a great time for girls, was it? I mean, you basically got told, they checked to see if you had a girdle in one episode. I mean, they're like,
yeah, that's right.
They're like really kind of sexist.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a blatantly misogynistic period of time. the stewardesses have weigh-ins, and there's parameters of the height you can be. It was between 5'3" and 5'10", I think, and I'm actually too short to have been a stewardess.
They would have said thanks, but no thanks, little girl.
Completely.
Wow. And they had a weigh-in. That's fantastic. Have you had a weigh-in these days? Are you kidding?
Yeah. There were weigh-ins and girdle checks and all those kinds of things. Oh. Now, I can't say that I don't think that these things aren't necessarily done now.
Yeah.
Right, sure.
But on paper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that was a blatantly misogynistic time. There might be a few things that still hold over, you know, are held over.
Although for a lot of women at that time, it was a great opportunity to see the world and develop a career and, you know, someplace to get out of the office being a secretary or a receptionist for somebody.
Yeah, no, this was an incredible job to have because if you played the game and you kind of did these things that were annoying and these girls, we did on the show, the girls are obviously, they hate these things and roll their eyes at them. And
you more than the others, right?
Yeah, my character hates them and is constantly getting in trouble for opening her mouth about them. But as soon as you went through these kind of these things that they had to do, you then got to have this really incredible kind of independent lifestyle that women at the time did not get to have. It was a really high paying job. They got to travel all the time. They got to see the world in a way that most Americans just didn't.
You know, the great thing about Pan Am, Christina, is that you rarely see a drama on television with such a strong female ensemble cast, with all the leads being primarily females. I think it's great to see.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And what's also great is that it's four women, and the whole point of the show is never about, I need a man, how do I find a man,
right.
You know? And that's something that's really different.
Did they write your role and then come out and find you because you seem like you fit it well, or did they take you into account when they were writing the role? Because you seem perfect for, you know, the person that's not real happy with that kind of stuff.
I think after the pilot, you know, our showrunner spent a lot of time with all of us on the pilot and just, you know, hanging out with us on set and kind of absorbing and listening to who we were. And then the script since has sort of reflected a lot of things about our personality.
That's nice.
And I think he kind of got that I had an authority problem. That I open my mouth and have no ability to self-edit. And that I get in fights. And maybe have a bit of a Napoleon complex. And other lovely things like that. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Coming from a background of mostly working in feature films, Christina, do you find the schedule difficult? Because I know people who say that they work on episodic television, it's a grueling schedule, right?
Well, actually, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do TV. I am a bit of a workaholic, and I love, love, love to be completely exhausted at the end of the day. And to work insane hours, and to really, I find it really insanely bonding with the, it's just such a bonding experience with your crew and with your other actors, and I don't know why, but I just love it.
Now on the movie set, I imagine it's just a lot more sitting around waiting and time wasting.
And when any time I've done an arc on television or any guest starring stuff, I've always just gotten such a rush out of the hours and everything. So that was what I really was looking for in doing a television show. So I love the intensity of TV, the TV schedule.
You're the opposite of me. I'll tell you that right now.
We're lazy.
Christina Ricci, thank you. I know you got to go. Pan Am airs Sundays nights on ABC at 10 o'clock. Thank you, Christina.
Yeah.
Ralph did a story yesterday in the Showbiz Beat about the dead celebrities and how much they're earning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list that Forbes puts out every year. And every year, Elvis is the top.
He makes a ton of money.
Elvis makes $55 million. He made that last year alone.
That is stunning to
me. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
But this year, there's a new number one, and it's over triple what Elvis makes. And his name is Michael Jackson.
Wow.
So Elvis has been bumped to number two with $55 million. Michael Jackson made $170 million.
How happy is his family?
Oh, my God. They must be thrilled. They're going out on shopping sprees.
Yeah.
We thought we would check in with Michael Jackson, as we do from time to time, in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Michael.
Get out.
How are you today?
How am I?
Yeah.
I'm number one, bitch.
You are number one.
That's right.
So you saw the list, or you heard us talking about it?
Yes, mm-hmm. I saw the list. We get Forbes up here.
You do?
Yeah.
I didn't know you got magazines in heaven.
Delivered right to the cloud.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you see the rest of the list, or?
I saw a few of the names on there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really bother looking at them because I'm number one.
That is true.
You do kick all the rest.
I win, they lose.
By a lot.
If I can give one piece of advice
to
struggling artists out there, people who want to be singers or performers,
right?
It's take a lot of propofol. Because then you will get rich and famous and be number one!
You are number one, yeah. By more than three times to Elvis Presley. What are your thoughts on Elvis Presley?
Fat.
You probably... What?
Fat.
I was going to say you probably never thought you'd be even mentioned in the same sentence as him.
The only thing I can think of that would be more embarrassing than dying from an overdose of propofol is trying to pinch a loaf. Sitting on the can, straining, having your heart flip you off, and then face down in the shag carpet.
That must have been a big loaf.
That is not the way you want to go if you're the king of rock and roll.
Let me run some other names by you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Just get your thoughts on them. So, if fat is what you're going with Elvis.
Fat and straining, I will put down there.
There's a tie at number 10 for Andy Warhol, mm-hmm. Betty Page, and George Harrison.
Okay.
All made $6 million last year.
Andy Warhol?
Andy Warhol.
Oh, Warhol.
Yeah, he's an artist.
Artist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar.
Okay. Betty Page.
She whore.
Was pinup girl. What?
Whore.
Okay. George Harrison.
He was Beatle. One of the monkeys.
He was one of the Beatles.
Beatles. Beatles. George
How
Harrison.
Do you not? You, didn't you own the Beatles catalog? For...
Yes, but the good ones.
Oh, you know? I see. Okay.
John and Paul, the guys who did stuff.
I see. Okay.
George Harrison, I think, he used to load the equipment in the van, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I'm not familiar.
All right.
He makes Ringo look talented.
At number nine, yes? Movie star Steve McQueen.
Oh, dead.
Dead, right.
Yeah.
Dead, nobody remembers dead.
Author Bucky Larson.
Bucky Larson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stieg Larson.
Stieg Larson.
I don't know who that is.
The author.
The author, yeah.
What did he write?
I don't know. Like, that helps me. And tied with Jimi Hendrix as well. What do you think of Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix. You know, that was a talent.
Right.
He could set a guitar on fire. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. Yeah.
Oh, so you're bad-mouthing him.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He set a guitar on fire. That's his claim to fame.
Well, I think he was a great guitarist. That was his claim to fame.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Guitar on fire. That's what people say about him. So congratulations. You can light a match.
All right. So Jimmy
We're
Hendrix.
All very impressed.
Wow.
You
Jimmy
lose.
Hendrix.
I win.
You're Charlie Sheen all of a sudden. Jimi Hendrix, $7
million. $7
million. Michael Jackson, $170
million. I wipe my wings with $7 million up here in heaven.
Why do you need to wipe your wings?
Because I'm an angel.
I know,
in
but...
In heaven.
All right.
Sometimes they get soot on them.
Children's book author, Dr. Seuss.
Oh.
$9
million? Loser. Oh, Fox and Box and Socks and Lux. F you. What are you, four? Write a book.
He was writing a book for four-year-olds.
Oh, eggs and legs and ham I am. Sam and Box and things
wow.
and rings. F you.
Wow, you're having a good day today.
Well, I'm number one.
Physicist Albert Einstein made $10
Stupid.
Million. Stupid?
Stupid?
Come on.
Nazi. A stupid
what?
Nazi.
Neither true.
What are you talking
yes.
about?
Neither.
Nazi.
Not
stupid.
True. Not true.
Nice hair.
Okay.
By
not
the way.
True.
Nice hair.
Not true.
Try to wear something other than a sweatshirt.
All right.
How about a button, a collar shirt with buttons?
Michael, he's been dead longer than you. I don't think he's looking for fashion tips.
Well, he could have used some.
Okay.
Because
right.
he looks like a slob.
Tied at number five.
Comb your hair. Put on a jacket. Have some self-respect, Nazi.
He's
Nazi.
Not a Nazi and he's not stupid. Don't be dumb. Tied at five, John Lennon.
Now, that was a good Beatle.
Okay.
That was one of the good Beatles.
$12 million. And your friend Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Yep.
How I miss her.
How do you miss her?
I miss her so much.
Yeah.
Because I'm in heaven and she's in hell.
What? How could she be in hell?
What are you talking about?
I'm saying she banged a lot of guys.
Oh, I see.
Married a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
And had a lot of diamonds.
Did you ever hit that?
The diamonds continue on.
Yeah, that's true.
Elizabeth, not so much.
Not so much. Actress Marilyn Monroe was third.
Oh,
27
talk about
million.
Your whore. Drug addict whore.
Then Elvis, 55.
Banging presidents.
Yeah.
And anything else with a pulse.
Yeah. And then Elvis with 55, and then you with 170.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
This I a, win.
This, you win.
You do.
Hands down.
Can't argue.
I win hands down.
And yet, Dad.
Yes,
but
number one.
Okay, but do they send money up to heaven?
I could be alive, in debt, or number one moneymaker, dead.
And
let's
would,
face it, money's more important.
You would choose that.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
I can use some of that money to bump off Conrad Murray, right?
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:53. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Davis Guggenheim coming up just after the top of the hour. He's done a brand new documentary on U2, which sounds fantastic. That airs
me and
Saturday
Lisa?
Night.
That's awesome. I didn't know they were doing a documentary on us, too. That's terrific.
U2,
thank you so much.
The band U2.
Davis what?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's called From the Sky Down, and it airs Saturday, and it looks really great. We also have Dr. Drew coming up, and we have Weird Al in the studio.
Ah!
Yes! Come on now.
I'm very excited.
First, how about some showbiz news? Here's Ralph.
Anybody get the sense that Christina Ricci was hitting on me during the interview?
No.
I got a strong hitting on me vibe.
It's weird. I got the same vibe for myself.
No.
I think she was coming to...
I didn't get it from either.
I think she was... I think she was hitting on us pretty hard, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were just a chick and you can't pick up on the vibe.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not
sensor.
In my hearing range.
Right.
I'm saying. Yeah, it's like a high-pitched whistle for a dog or something. Except in reverse because you can't hear it. This is a great Halloween story. An Indiana family moves into a new home. They go up into the attic. They find bones, embalming tools, and photos of dead bodies in the attic.
Oh, dear God.
So they
that isn't good for you.
Start screaming.
Right.
They call the police. This is in Indiana. The police show up.
Yes.
And it turns out the skeleton... It was just like a model. It was just like a plastic model.
They can't tell the difference between a plastic model
and the guy who owned the house before was a mortician, so he just kept his tools in the attic. And the photos were of some of his work from the funeral home.
It's not nearly as
exciting. Not really a good Halloween story, after all. I guess they were hoping for
It's a good start. Although I would like to talk to them about how embarrassed they must have been when they called the police.
There's dead bodies in the attic! The guy was a murderer! These are plastic bones. This is just a model, and the guy was a mortician. Everything's cool. Thanks so much for calling us.
Real stuff.
I'm glad there's crime going on here while we're researching your attic. It's funny what people jump to conclusions.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's talk about show business news.
Okay.
Michael Lohan faced an extremely angry judge in Tampa, Florida yesterday. As I mentioned yesterday, he was hauled into court because he violated the restraining order against his girlfriend.
Wait, we heard that it was domestic violence. I didn't hear this.
She claims that he pushed her, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, he's got a restraining... she has a restraining order against him.
Oh, okay.
He's supposed to stay 100 yards away, whatever it is. He violated that, and then there was a physical altercation when they got together. That's why he was hauled into jail. So he gets put up in front of the judge yesterday, and this guy was furious and just went off. Primarily for violating the restraining order. I mean, that was... There was no question about that. The domestic violence will still have to be proved in court. But he said to his attorney, "Does Michael know how to read?"
All right.
That was the first slap. He suggested the prosecution add on a felony charge of aggravated assault. The judge says this to the prosecution.
Wait, while they're in court?
Yes. You know, I don't think you've charged him with enough. Here's what I would do. I think you should add another charge of aggravated assault. How about that?
Wow. You don't want to make a judge mad. That's what I know.
Set his bail at $5,000 and instructed he stay behind bars until 6 p.m. Why don't you just stay in that cell for a while? Don't get bailed out so quick. Think about what you've done.
Wow.
Yeah. So things are... I think Michael hopes he doesn't get this guy again when it goes to trial. We'll have to wait and see. More celebrity courtroom news. Remember Puck from The Real World?
Yeah.
Sure.
Puck, the obnoxious douchebag?
Sure.
Yeah, he apparently was in court yesterday.
He was the Jersey Shore before the Jersey Shore.
That's right. Yeah, he was just a disgusting, filthy bike messenger, and he used to like eat peanut butter with his hands that the rest of the housemates were eating out of, and he'd blow like snot rockets in the living room and stuff and everything. He was foul.
He was an animal. Level. He was an animal.
Yeah. He just struck a plea deal with prosecutors and pled no contest to domestic battery problems in his household as well, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Turns out he's a dad. That's not what you want.
What?
He's going to have to serve 4 years on probation, attend 52 weeks of domestic violence counseling, and 52 weeks of parenting classes. He's also going to spend 30 days cleaning up our California highways and for his community service. So,
you ever had a friend that did that?
Community service?
Yeah, or along the road?
The highway cleaning? No,
I've
never
always
had that.
Just been dying to have one of my friends be out there and I'll just drive by and throw stuff.
Yep.
Here's another bag of trash. Pick it up, loser.
And he turns and one tear comes out of his eye. It's like that Indian in the old commercial. Our buddy Jerry O'Connell. Things are looking up for him.
Okay.
He's not had the best track record with TV shows.
You could say that.
He had that hotel sitcom. Remember that one? Mm-hmm. That didn't last too long. Then he had The Defenders with Jim Belushi, where he played the defense attorney. And I liked that show. I thought it was very entertaining, but that did not stick around.
It was good, but it wasn't good enough, I think.
CBS has picked up a sitcom starring Jerry O'Connell, where he will play a new father.
All right.
Coincidentally, Jerry is a new father. So he will produce and star in the show. So maybe this is the one.
I hope. He's a likable guy.
He is a very likable and very talented guy. And while we're talking about good news for television, Showtime has picked up Homeland.
That's what I'm talking about.
For a second season.
That's a great show.
Story, of course, is about Damian Lewis, a rescued POW, who has been turned by Al-Qaeda. Or has he? We don't know. Claire Danes thinks so.
She finds out from a reputable source that they've turned an American POW.
But they don't say definitively
who. Right. And then he comes back.
So is it this guy? You don't know, man.
Everybody else is treating him
you
like
don't
a hero,
know.
And she's trying to figure it all out.
And Miranda Backron is his wife, and she's trying
and she's
to
hot.
Say, what's up with him? He's not the same man I married all those years ago.
And
he's
looking,
like, oh, really, bitch? Well, I've been in a cave being beaten every day for dinner, breakfast, and lunch, okay? So why don't you try to be the same guy you were? Headbutts her.
He was turned by the terrorist.
Omar North Tower.
Yeah, he's the worst one of all.
I think that's the one.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Andrew Bynum, Lakers center, is 24 years old today. Kelly Osbourne is 27. Scott Weiland from STP turns 44 years old. Simon LeBon of Drum Drum is 53 years old today. John Cleese from Monty Python's Flying Circus is 72 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up, we have Dr. Drew this hour. We have Weird Al in the studio also.
He's the best.
So keep listening for your chance to win tickets for the K-Rock Dead Man's Ball. I could have said that better.
No, strong.
It wasn't smooth.
Makes me want to go.
All right. Right now we have Davis Guggenheim on the phone. Hello, Davis. Well, some of us are doing better than others. I'm having trouble pronouncing every word.
Davis, thank God you're here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be on K-Rock, man. I'm a big fan.
I got
to
tell you, I was watching Showtime. I forget which show. It was Dexter or something. And an ad for this movie came on, and it wasn't in the... I couldn't set my TiVo for it yet, so I just set it for the words because it looks so good. I figured when it finally came out that my TiVo would record it. It's this Saturday, and it's called From the Sky Down. It's about U2 and the making of the album Achtung Baby.
Yeah, it was so much fun to make.
Davis, why Achtung Baby? Why are you soloing out that album from U2's vast career?
Well, it's a moment where they, you know, almost crashed and burned and became a rock and roll cliche. They had come out of Joshua Tree, their number one band in the world, under the cover of Time magazine, and then they literally hit Berlin, and they almost broke up. They lost their way, and a lot of bands just hit that and they're done. But they actually reinvented themselves, created a whole new music, and made one of the great rock and roll bands. So that's the story of how sort of they came through the fire and made great music.
Now, Achtung Baby was, it was really darker than their other music, right? I mean, it was a different album for them.
Yeah, and it's, what's fascinating about it is, like, these are guys that met, like a lot of rock and roll guys, like they meet later in life. These guys met when they were 16 and 17, and now, you know, 40 years later, they're still together.
Yeah.
They're still devoted to each other and to music. And they sort of defy all the physics that sort of pulls rock bands apart. And out of that, they make really great music. So that's the movie's about, like, how do they do it? How do they write their songs and celebrating one of the great albums ever?
Now, 20 years later, you bring the band back to Berlin, right, to where it all happened. And what is the story of the dynamic? What was the problems at the time, and what was going on with the band at the time that made it such a volatile situation?
Well, you know, they made Joshua Tree and then Rowland Hum, and they were sort of pursuing at that point this sort of blues-based stuff. You know, they did
right.
stuff with B.B. King. And,
right.
And they really realized at the end of that tour, they're like, what do we become? We're a punk band. We're from Ireland. What are we doing playing blues music? And some wanted to continue that because the music, they're the number one band in the world, and some wanted to completely change their sound.
Right.
And
it's weird. Let me interrupt if you don't mind.
Sure.
They're a punk band.
I've never done that before on your show, have you?
No. You're so funny.
I'm glad to be the first guest.
You're so funny.
You're the first one.
They're a punk band, you said. I've never thought of you two as a punk band.
Well, you know, they really, now, you wouldn't call them that now, but they were, technically, they're a post-punk band. But if you listen to the album Boy...
Right.
That was pretty, pretty, pretty harsh punk, you know, angry rocker album.
Yeah, they were a raw live band from Dublin who was just playing, you know, clubs and bars, and that was the genesis of their sound, I guess, right?
But imagine a band, I don't think I can name one where the band is number one in the world, the fans want more with or without you.
Yeah.
Give them Achtung Baby, which is complete left turn, like the opposite.
Yeah, it's
total reinvention.
Yeah, even better than the real thing is sort of just in-your-face, hard-edged rock compared to everything else they'd done up to that point.
I wouldn't even call it rock. It's like electronic.
You sort of
like
dance
music.
Yeah,
so calling it rock is a little bit. And I showed that there's a great performance. There's a lot of performance in this movie. They play Even Better Than the Real Thing at the Glastonbury Festival. Bono plays Just for Us acoustically, The Fly.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
and Edge. There's a lot of performers, and we see them write their songs. We see how they do it, and it's. I've always sort of I'm curious, like, how do these guys write their songs? And we found the early tracks of them writing in Berlin, and there's a sequence which you put goosebumps on the back of your neck of how they actually wrote the first song that made them feel like they were a band again.
I have a clip of Bono, and
the story
I think
is like, you know, they're working on mysterious ways, and it's not working. And Edge brings in this guitar part for the bridge section, and Daniel Lanois, their producer, says, "Why don't we make that? Why don't you go in the studio and play that?" And they play it, and you hear them from the very first chord play and learn and write the song one. Bono doesn't have it yet, and it gives you goosebumps when you hear it. And it's not just the writing of the song, but it's this band becoming a band again.
That's the most impressive thing to me, is going into a studio and having nothing. It doesn't exist. And then you create that kind of art, and every band does it differently. And it's always fascinating for me to see the behind the scenes of how they do it and how they came up with the songs they came up with.
And frankly, I've never seen a movie do this in the sense that you're actually seeing and hearing them write this song and actually becoming a band again. They literally could have just walked that same day. They could have walked their separate ways.
Wow. Here's a little bit of Bono talking about that time.
Something happened in Acton, baby. That was the pivot point. We started out doing the same thing that we'd always done. We'd just bash it out.
Getting better.
Listen back and not like anything that we were doing.
Do you feel the same?
We were on completely different pages.
You say?
Suddenly, something happens, and you know it. It was one of those hairs on the back of your neck moments. Making Acton Baby was the reason we're still here now.
You know, it's funny because you talk about them going a different direction than their fans expected. And it seems like every fan of music wants that. Don't repeat yourself. Don't do the same thing. Bands do it and then they go, "Yeah, I like the old stuff better." It's a really, it's a difficult turn to make and bring your fans with you.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Stones, and the Stones are always the Stones, you know, and you know, even though they change a little bit, there's something comfortable about that.
Right.
They don't want that. I mean, still, they're going back in the studio right now, and they are going for something completely different. Somehow, that's who they are.
Wow. Well, it looks fascinating. It looks like it's really great. You've done, I was reading your bio, you've done everything I like. It's, really, it's like you've done Deadwood, you did It Might Get Loud, the documentary, which was great. You've done The Shield, Alias, 24, NYPD Blue. I mean, really.
Inconvenient Truth.
Inconvenient Truth, where you lied to us and said we'd be underwater. All of that.
And now I'm on K-Rock.
Right, exactly. So anyway,
your bucket list is complete now, Davis.
My bucket list, I'm going to off myself now.
Don't do that.
Or do it live for on our show if you're going to do it.
Do it right this second.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it live. It's not going to be on radio.
Smart man.
You are a filmmaker.
Get the big bucks and then you know, do it on Stern with the feed.
I don't blame you.
Premieres on Showtime on this Saturday, October 29th at 8 p.m. It's called From the Sky Down, and it's about U2 and their album Octung Baby. Davis, thank you very much for joining us. Very much looking forward to it.
It's a pleasure to be on your show, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Time for some Afro calls, 323-520-AFRO. You can call on any topic. We did a contest a couple of days ago for our Dead Man Balls tickets, and it was famous dead people, and dead was in the answer, and the woman surprised us with an answer, and that's what this guy's calling about.
Okay, everybody, we're playing famous deads. The answer has the word dead in it. Is everybody ready to play?
Yeah.
All right, what band was formed in 1965 featuring lead singer Jerry Garcia?
AC/DC?
Ah! You dumb! It has dead in the answer! You dumb fat! Oh my god!
We had Psycho Mike in here complaining that the people in poor neighborhoods bus their kids to his parents' neighborhood and they have to buy like $5,000 worth of candy.
Psycho Mike, you are a horrible, horrible, terrible person. These are children and you're saying you can't have a piece of candy? Are you effing kidding me? You're such an a-hole. You make me want to vomit.
To everybody in the world.
What's your name?
William.
Where do you live?
A few houses down.
All right, candy for you. Hold on. Wait. Grim Reaper, what's your name?
Leon.
Leon, where are you from?
Alhambra.
Alhambra, no candy for you.
Yeah. So that happened.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Yeah. Ashton Kutcher put out a video that's the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life, talking about truth and media, and he just droned on and on.
Is being on suicide watch?
Sorry, that's not this one. This is being on suicide watch.
Okay.
Because he's out and Weird Al coming in. Somebody might want to check on him just for liability issues, you know. Obviously, nobody really cares if he freaking takes himself out or not.
That's rough, but
he probably is.
Yeah, we do have people around the clock watching him. This is Ashton Kutcher.
Speaking about the bastardizing of religion, spirituality.
So the other day I picked up a piece of text. Shut up, Ashton.
I'm with her. Ralph did a rant about Rocktober. And then the bastardization of that, which is any tober and motor tober.
Doesn't
and
have to rhyme.
No rhyme. No even attempt at rhyming.
Hey, Lisa, how would you like to celebrate f-tober?
Well, it doesn't rhyme.
Does it rhyme?
Can't do it if it doesn't rhyme.
Hey, guys, next time you talk to Dr. Drew, can you let him know I said happy Doctober?
All right, that rhymes.
It does work.
We're going to talk to him in 5 minutes.
This month is annual Walk Like a Dog Month. So bend over and Rovertober.
I'm not sure that works.
In the spirit of October, Del Taco is having Tacoberfest. Yay!
The way she says it almost rhymes.
Ralph, I just wanted to wish you a happy Rock the Amadaytober.
Nope.
You know, I'm sad because there's only a few days left in my favorite month of the year. There's only a few days left in Ralph-tober.
Nope.
Beanbaxter. And I already know when your vacation is going to happen.
World Series of Baseball. Super boring sports are going to happen.
Yeah.
You guys are such dicks. All I can do right now, I can't get it out of my head. I can't. I'm walking around. I'm not
going to
sing any songs. But all I can hear, nonstop.
Me too.
Seriously. The Halloween music for every... I'm serious. I'm like driving my truck and I'm like, turn my truck. And I can't stop. God, you're
there's nothing you can do about it.
It's Omar's fault.
The worst songs to get stuck. That's the way it works. All right, we'll take a break and come back with...
Don't make me hurt you.
The world's famous K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean.
K-R-O-Q.
We'll be back with the Showbiz Beat in a minute. Plus, we've got Weird Al coming in the studio. Right now, we have Dr. Drew on the phone. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, John. What's up?
How are you?
Good.
Got a lot to talk to you about. I'm going to give you a choice of what you want to start with, what you want to end with. We got Amy Winehouse. We got Michael Jackson trial. We got Lindsay Lohan. We got Michael Lohan.
Let's do Amy.
Amy first. A lot of alcohol in her blood.
He's not very excited about that.
Is that surprising? No, I mean, because her dad was trying to say she was cutting alcohol out of her life, and you said that can kill a person.
Yes,
which is
all
true.
I stand by my original statements, and unfortunately, they're turning out to be true. And I'm also have said that you're going to find out that pharmaceutical drugs were involved with this. And if you remember, the dad was saying, oh, she's just on Librium, no big deal. Well, Librium is a dangerous and addictive benzodiazepine for addicts. And particularly when you combine it with alcohol, very much like Michael Jackson with the benzodiazepine and the propofol, it stops breathing. And so is how she died.
So she didn't know that that combination was bad?
Well, who knows? I mean, she's an alcoholic drug addict.
Yeah.
And by the way, let's all remind ourselves, let's say I'm wrong and the Librium wasn't involved. Hey, it's just alcohol. Alcohol kills all the time. And so to say the dad, the poor dad, and that's, in fact, something we talked about on my HLN show yesterday at great length, was how sad it is the family didn't understand the alcohol is just as dangerous as everything else she's done.
Yeah, they were quick to say, oh, no, she's not doing anything else, just the alcohol.
Exactly. Right. And I understand, Kevin, you had a great appreciation for my expert panel yesterday.
I did, yes. I'm calling BS on having Psycho Mike as a guest, as a guest expert.
Kevin. Nope. You'll appreciate this. If there's one thing Mike is an expert on, drugs and alcohol.
That's true.
Okay, there you go. That's it. Enough said.
All right.
Guy spent more time with drugs and alcohol than most of my patients. So
that's true.
Yeah, and Mike actually I have given him credit for educating me. He said something very touching once. He said, "I've never found anything I've loved as much as drugs and alcohol." And I thought, well, it's true. And I thought, wow, that sums up drug addiction pretty nicely.
Yeah.
So, at least somebody's like,
that's rough.
It's just all the other stuff we know about Psycho Mike that,
that's different. Yeah. I try to push that aside.
I'm saying that makes him not an expert. Okay, but Amy Winehouse. Okay, so that wasn't a surprise. She did have a lot of alcohol in her system.
Yeah.
The drug that she was taking is a drug to get you off of drugs?
Yes, it's a drug we used to get people, because alcohol withdrawal can be fatal. Remember, they were saying, she died of alcohol withdrawal.
Right, right.
And, it can be, but Librium we use for 3, 5, even 7 days to prevent that side of that problem.
I
and
see.
Then you're off it because it becomes addictive, and this very thing can happen.
Tell us again, because this is always enlightening to me. It's way worse to come off alcohol than it is any hard drug.
It's not worse in the sense that it's more unpleasant or more difficult. It's worse in that it's more dangerous. It's the one drug from which the withdrawal can be very easily fatal.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah, people don't realize that. People don't think about that. But DTs, delirium tremens, true DTs are very, very dangerous. And, everyone's aware that people can shake and people can seize, but it can go from that into cardiovascular collapse really easily.
And it also seems like it's the hardest to come off of just because it's socially accepted and
around you all the time.
Everybody wants to give it to you.
Yeah.
Listen, when it comes to pot and alcohol and tobacco, there's a lot of cultural reinforcement that these things are okay. And by the way, pharmaceutical drugs are the same thing because, the doctor prescribed them. How dangerous could they be? Or, by the way, Susie's been on her Adderall or whatever, or Ritalin, since she was 5, and she seems fine. What's the big deal if I use it for a couple of chemistry tests?
But you're finally ready to admit that pot's okay.
No? I'm gonna have a discussion about that on my HLN show. Listen, I got in a lot of trouble for just saying on Conan that cannabis. The California Medical Association, the California Society of Addiction Medicine, are coming out, with sort of rational ideas about how to deal with this problem. And I haven't opposed their ideas, so I said I'm kind of modestly in favor of what they're doing. Oh boy,
yeah,
people get really worked up about this drug.
Yeah, they do. They do.
All right,
Dr. Drew, let's talk about Michael Jackson. The trial, it looks like it's almost over.
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, the defense, to me, and I didn't watch all the, my wife watches every minute of it, but...
Yeah.
Did
you really find it that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
She tells me every day. She gives me an update. Just sounds like the defense has nothing.
They seem to have nothing except character witnesses and trying to create sympathy for Dr. Murray, and it's a pretty... it's a pretty sad situation, and I'm of the opinion, I don't know if I mentioned this to you last week, but I'm of the opinion that he really believed everything he did was perfect. He really thinks he gave Michael Jackson fantastic care. I really believe that. I believe that's why he did a 200-page interrogation with the police that he said.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and his attorney sat there with him and said, yeah, go right ahead.
But Dr. Drew, didn't he spend some time cleaning up the room and hiding stuff? I mean, that doesn't tell me that he's.
You're right. There's been some suspicious behavior, but he thought at least that once you hear what a great job I did and how wonderful I love Michael Jackson, you'll be fine with this too. I really think he convinced himself of that. He convinced his attorney of that. And the fact is, it's so sad that he didn't understand how over his head he was with this case, and how from the beginning he just marched down a path that was completely adulterated and dangerous. And some of the stuff that has haunted me the most is, in that interrogation, he comments that, Michael Jackson was on a lot of pills from a lot of doctors. He'd go see Dr. Klein 3 times a week, come back, quote, wasted, unquote. And, he wanted to keep that private, what he did with other doctors.
Yeah.
Who am I? I'm like, what are you talking? You're the primary care guy. You're responsible for the overall care of this guy. You should be calling those doctors. You should be checking with the pharmacies. And so because he's a cardiologist, and by the way, once Michael Jackson died, his cardiological acumen, pretty damn good. Did pretty much everything right.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
After he was dead. Hey, a lot of good that did you.
Once the cardiology stuff was useful, then pretty good. But the overall doctoring was just, bad.
Now, I have not been in the circle. I haven't been watching HLN all the time. What's the common wisdom? This is not going to be another Casey Anthony, is it?
I don't think so.
All right.
I really don't. I don't see how. The attorneys, these I talked to, feel that the prosecution really just nailed it all down.
All right. So we did Amy Winehouse. We did Michael Jackson. We have Dr. Drew on the line. Let's talk about Lindsay Lohan doing Playboy. Don't tell me I can't enjoy that.
You can.
I can enjoy it.
And who was I listening? I think I was listening to you guys yesterday. You were talking about how much you're looking forward to it.
Yes, of course. She's hot.
And so, okay, enjoy. Enjoy. That's fine. I'm glad she has a way to make some money. She certainly has a lot of legal bills to deal with.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
And I think that money will not last very long the way she lives, yeah. I am afraid. But the
pictures will last forever.
The other, your enjoyment will. That's right. I hope Liz is listening. Anyway, the fact is that she has to really hit a bottom. And the fact that she can continue to make money via various means is not necessarily good for her in terms of, you know, how far down she's going to go.
Did you see that Fleshlight offered her $1 million to be their spokesperson?
Who knows where she's going to go for Playboy? You know what
well,
I mean?
Porn is the answer.
Isn't there a chance she'll be back in jail because she isn't completing her community service?
You mean that the Playboy will deflect her from the community
service? No, that it won't matter.
Because she'll still be in jail?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think that's going to be... Isn't she already out? I mean, she's
out, but they're going to have another... Trial,
yeah, they're
going to
have. Yeah, she didn't fulfill her community service requirements. She's going to be back.
You should
in front
try
of
to keep
judge,
up on this stuff, Dr. Drew.
I know. I need to keep up more clearly. I'm too busy with her dad and what's going on there.
Tell us about her dad.
All right. I know that you have to run soon, but tell us about Michael Lohan, Lindsay Lohan's dad.
Michael, I'm actually going to. I believe I'm for a Life Changers show. I think I'm going to be sitting down with Michael like tomorrow. He wants to come talk to me, and I'm obviously, you know, Michael's somebody I've worked with, and I have real affection for.
Anybody that watched Celebrity Rehab was not surprised by this. Though.
Well, not only not surprised, isn't this, if you saw the episode where he fought with Kate Majors, isn't this precisely,
yes.
It's precisely the same
exactly
thing.
And I would expect him, when he leaves jail, to run right back to her, because he gets so crazy.
And I got some, I got to talk to Mike, because he's been BSing us, that no, I'm not with Kate anymore, and mm-hmm. I understand, I'm so codependent. They have such a toxic and meshed, addicted relationship. It's really bad for both of them.
How do you not lose hope with a guy like that, who you could see that was going to be the case at the beginning? You could probably see at the end of the rehab session that was going to be the case. Now it is the case.
If you remember, Bob Forrest shook his head and said, Mike, I've never seen anything like you. When we think we're making progress, you slide back and you're going to go to jail. It's going to happen.
How do you not lose hope?
Because two reasons. I've seen way worse things recover. I've seen amazing people... Carrie Ann Paniche is doing well right now. We just checked back in with her.
Fantastic.
People that you don't have hope for, you meet them a few years later where you planted a seed and you think, oh my God, this is a great person. And, you have hope for everybody because unbelievable things can happen where you didn't think it was possible. Mike, on top of, not only is he eligible to get better. I mean, we see him improve. He improves. He does better. He's moving along. And then they backslide him. That's the way it goes.
Dr. Drew on Loveline, Sunday to Thursday, 10 p.m. to midnight. Life Changers on the CW at 3 and 3:30. HLN every night at 6 p.m., I believe, West Coast time.
6 and 9. Thank you.
6 and 9, yes.
Yep.
And let's see.
I'm sure there's more.
I just had one more thing that I wanted to say to you, and that's never have Nancy Grace on your show. Never. She is a... whore. She's a horrible person. Dr. Drew, she's a horrible person.
That's not been my experience, but I'll take that into consideration.
Would you mind just bringing that up? Some people say you're a whore. How do you respond?
Oh, my God.
No?
No, I don't. Well, if you insist.
Okay, good. Thank you. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat and then Weird Al in the studio.
Nothing. The only thing that could make having Weird Al in studio better is the fact that Bean's out today. That is just
true.
I could not be happier. It's like the confluence of like some of the greatest things in my life all happening at once. Because nobody's a bigger Al fan than Bean.
Weird Al is in Bean's top three people of all time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And every time Al goes to the bathroom, Bean tells us.
That's right.
And we get an update from him every minute.
I think Bean's got a cam in his bathroom.
I do,
I'm
too.
Not sure. I think he's got a live feed. But
so that is funny.
It is pretty hilarious. So maybe we can call him and rub it in when Al comes in just a few moments.
He would answer his phone, so we'll just leave a message.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
Oh, sorry, Bean. Mm. I wanted to talk to you. You should have picked up. Mm. Oh, well.
Too bad.
Before I get to showbiz news, I don't know if you heard it earlier in the hour, we talked to Davis Guggenheim, a tremendous documentarian who made, Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore movie, It Might Get Loud, History of the Electric Guitar, right, with Jimmy Page and Jack White and The Edge.
That was great.
Worked on Deadwood and NYPD Blue. We were looking over his resume, just ridiculous. But he's got this new documentary that is debuting on Showtime this Saturday, October the 29th at 8 p.m. It's called From the Sky Down. It's about U2. And looking back 20 years ago to Achtung Baby, their groundbreaking album that sort of changed the direction of the band forever. And so we thought it'd be cool if we gave out some copies of Achtung Baby. Let's just take the first five callers right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through, we'll get a copy of U2's Achtung Baby in celebration of the new documentary. Once again, it's this Saturday at 8 p.m. on Showtime. You can check out From the Sky Down. And if you missed the interview, you can go and download our podcast. That'll be a good reason for you to check it out. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Heard you talking to Drew about this Michael Lohan. I did the story where he was arrested in Tampa a couple days ago on the domestic violence charges.
Right.
I can't keep up with Michael Lohan. I just can't keep up with the news.
Well,
he was arrested again this morning.
Oh, what? You're kidding.
Yes.
For what?
Going back? Same thing.
Oh, my God.
Tampa police arrested him this morning for making a harassing phone call to his girlfriend, Kate Major, immediately after he was being released from jail.
Asshole.
So he's in jail for violating his restraining order and for suspicions of domestic abuse. He gets out on bail. The first thing he does is make a harassing phone call to her. Once again, violating the restraining order.
And that judge was so mad at him last time.
So she calls the police. This Kate Major. She calls the police. They come to her condo to interview her about the phone call. He calls again while they're there. She puts it on the speaker so the police could listen.
Oh, man.
And they immediately go to pick him up at his motel there in Tampa. He's staying at the Tahitian Inn. And you know, with a name like the Tahitian Inn, it's got to be a four-star resort.
Probably five-star.
The cops show up. He spots them from his motel room and jumps out of a third-floor balcony in an attempt to escape.
Under the ground?
Yes.
From three floors high?
Yes.
Wow.
There was a short pursuit on foot, and Michael Lohan was taken into custody.
That's what Dr. Drew was talking about when he said, this morning I'm dealing with all that.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I thought you may not, because I just got the story. We were talking about the old Lohan arrest.
2 days ago.
Right, this is the new one. Authorities say, looks like he broke his foot when he jumped off the balcony, so he's currently in the hospital. He'll be returned to jail once he's been cleared by doctors.
Jail.
How's that drop?
Whoa.
Jail.
Do you see us using that much?
I think we need a new segment called Unnecessary Sound Drops.
Jail.
Unnecessary production value.
We have a lot of them. We do have a lot of them.
More celebrity criminal news. Justin Bieber was pulled over by cops.
Jail.
No, unfortunately, he didn't go to jail.
Come on.
He was just given a warning from the cops. He was cruising with his friends here in Los Angeles in a three-car motorcade.
What?
Well, there's three cars, like as a caravan, cruising together.
Yeah.
And apparently the CHP pulled over the entire gang to see what was up. Here's the thing. His friends were in a Range Rover, a black Rolls Royce, and Bieber, of course, was in his Cadillac CTS V series, which he's had remade to be a Batmobile, by the way. This is officially 17-year-olds with too much money is the name of this story. He has taken the Cadillac and has had to convert it into what he calls his Bat-a-lack.
Oh!
It's been painted jet black. It's got a bat signal on the front grill, on the back. Where it says Cadillac, those letters have been removed. It says Batmobile on the trunk now.
Yeah.
And on the side doors, he's got a JB logo embossed on the doors on either side.
Now, you've spent your life collecting Batman memorabilia. How does this make you feel?
It makes me feel nauseous. That's how it makes me feel.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Wow.
Yeah, so
it says JB on each side?
Yeah, like where the Bat logo would be on the Batmobile, he's got JB on each door.
They should have arrested him just for that.
They should have assassinated him just for that. They should have just pulled him out. They should have Rodney King'd his ass right into the asphalt.
What a dumb douchebag.
His Batman Cadillac. For God's sakes. First of all, you got all the money in the world. You want a Batmobile? Go buy a Batmobile. You don't take a nice Cadillac and then sort of half-ass it and turn it into a sort of Batmobile.
He's perverting your pure love.
That's right. It's Batman or not Batman. There's no in-between.
There's no JB.
There's Batmobile. There's no Batmobile. There's no Batillac. Baby, baby, baby. Oh. All right, let's talk about celebrity birthdays today. Lakers center Andrew Bynum celebrates his 24th birthday. Kelly Osbourne turns 27. Scott Weiland of Stone Temple Pilots and Velvet Revolver is 44. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran is 53 years old today. John Cleese, legendary comedian, actor, writer, one of the Monty Python troupe. He is 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
If you've listened for any amount of time, you know that Bean and Ralph and myself, Kevin, we don't agree on much.
Right.
Except for the following guest.
Are you ready for Weird Al Yankovic?
My pleasure. Good to see you guys.
Nice retrospective.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's crazy. How many albums do you have?
Thousands.
It sounds like how many did you distribute? How many did you make?
Real answer, I think the latest one was number 13 studio album.
Studio album. I think that's part of what we love about you is that you've got this niche that no one else has been able to stay in. And you're doing it, and you're still putting out albums that are great.
There's only one job application for Weird Al, and I took it. I just snagged that baby.
As I listen to those songs, I remember My Balloon. I remember in Philadelphia as a kid growing up, listening at night with my headphones on, so my parents wouldn't know I was listening to Dr. Demento instead of sleeping. And I remember hearing that song, and it changed my life for me and all my friends, because all we did now, every popular song, we tried to make up funny lyrics to it. Do you ever look back and say, what a bizarre career it has been to have lasted this long?
Well, it was very calculated because I filled a niche because I looked at our pop culture and realized there weren't enough songs about lunch meat.
That's true.
You know, nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah.
I filled that sucker, and here I am today.
But a lot of people have tried to fill that sucker.
Yes.
Not just meat songs, but
there's been tons of parody songs and weird songs over the years, novelty songs. And you, I guess it's a tribute to your talent that you've lasted this long.
Well, gosh, guys.
It's really remarkable.
I know. We like you too much. I'm afraid of that. I think we like you too much.
This is without Bean on
this
stuff.
I know.
What do we do with Bean
here? I remember seeing you in concert and you had a chainsaw. I think you were doing like a surgeon.
Oh, yeah. We used to do the whole thing where we actually cut a woman in half on a gurney on stage for like a surgeon. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, old school.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing that and going, wow, this guy has a chainsaw. He's out there. He's really balls to the wall.
You haven't seen the show in the last 25 years, though, have you? We got to get you out to a
show.
He's
upgraded the production value a little bit.
I've been practicing.
The last time I saw you perform, I have to be honest, is when you did Smells Like Nirvana.
Oh, that's a little later. Okay, then early 90s.
People's Home.
Oh, okay. Well, that wasn't a real concert, but I got to traumatize some people.
He came in and we said, you can call in and we'll bring Al someplace. And they said, Old Folks Home. We said, great, it'll be fun. And then we went there and it was so sad and quiet. Oh.
And
there
they didn't
were,
really get it.
They were really old.
But I rocked the joint.
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Like, no one could talk. And they were just, it was sad. The TV was on. No one was watching. And Al walks in. I'm like, oh, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And we start playing the music and Al is jumping around like a crazy man, screaming this song and jumping in their faces. I was thinking, well, someone's going to die.
Yeah, people are clutching their pacemakers.
I mean, he didn't back off one bit. I was like, that is impressive.
And then it became like an Adam Sandler movie. I had the rapping grannies come out.
That was fantastic. What a great memory that was.
Oh,
so you're still touring in this DVD Blu-ray
is going to come out. Is this?
It is out as we. Well, there's one. Well, actually, I'm chock full of product because the Blu-ray came out already. The Alpocalypse Tour Special came out already on Blu-ray, and there's one called Alpocalypse HD, which is coming out on November 8th, which is just all the music videos from Lost Element.
Oh,
HD.
I see. Okay.
Do we want to see those in HD?
Probably not.
Okay. All right.
Frankly,
my thought.
That's a full
you're
disclosure.
You're not Katy Perry. I love you, but you're not Katy
Perry.
You
don't want to see me as Lady Gaga in HD. I just want to give you that warning right now.
Although white and nerdy, I'd like to see Donny Osmond, I think, in HD. I'd like to see that.
You know, that,
like
that is actually on the package as well. So white and nerdy for the first time in HD on that.
There you added, like, what, two or three others on there?
Yeah. You know, added value, bonus material.
At the drive-in, was that?
That as well, yes.
Oh, so good.
Yes. Do you enjoy touring as much as you do working in the studio? Because the music you turn out is so well produced, I would think it's hard to replicate that on the road in a live
show. We need to take a break. Hold on.
I'll ponder that.
You'll ponder that, and we'll come back with Weird Al on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have the great Weird Al in the studio with us, and I think we're too excited about that.
I am going through a little starstruck, fanboy thing going on right now.
Weird is going to be playing Friday, November 11th at the City National Grove of Anaheim and Saturday, November 12th at the Pantages Theater.
That's correct.
Are those sold out?
I don't know. If they are, I'll just leave.
He doesn't need us anymore.
We found out during the song and commercial that Al doesn't know much about his career. He doesn't know about the album sales.
He's better off not knowing, I think.
No. Really, I like it to be a surprise.
There's no information
like,
about this.
What? The check didn't clear?
They show up with a moving van and start taking his stuff out of his house. He'll know.
Now, you were in How I Met Your Mother last.
Hey, can we answer my question that we talked about in the last break? I know you did.
That was a lifetime ago.
It was a fascinating question.
Tell me again.
Your work depends largely, and you do a great job of it, of replicating sometimes the sound of a given track or something if you're doing a parody of a
song.
And so I was wondering, since you're on tour, what is more satisfying to you? Is performing in front of a live audience as satisfying as your work in the studio when you put together your album?
Well, I love it all, but I think the live performance is my favorite part because only in a live setting can you really share your bodily fluids with an audience. I mean, that's very important.
That's what you're shooting for.
Is that what they want? They want your bodily fluids?
I have to assume so.
Yeah, okay.
All first couple of rows.
Get one of those rain ponchos if you're going to be in the first couple of rows, I guess.
Do you come up with songs and you go, I have no idea how I'm going to do that live, and then it's a lot of work to try and figure out how to reproduce it on the stage?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, because, you know, I write songs as songs and not thinking how's this going to be a video or how's this going to be translated live on stage. So it was, you know, when I came up with the Lady Gaga thing, for instance, I'm not thinking like, how am I going to look like Lady Gaga on stage? You know, that was a bit of a challenge. I did just do a, here's a spoiler, when we do it live, I do it in a giant peacock outfit. So you can't tell that I don't have a 24-year-old woman's body.
I'm sure my critics will say it's a grotesque display. Well, they can bite me, baby, I perform this way. I'm wearing Swiss cheese, oh baby, covered with bees. It doesn't mean I'm crazy, I perform this way.
I gotta tell you, that's inspired lyricist right there. Inspired lyrics.
Covered with bees.
Covered with bees is the greatest line. If you were a real showman, you would do it covered
you
in
would
bees.
Get
live.
Covered with bees.
That's the next tour.
Have you thought of
we're
that?
We're building up to that. We're training the beekeepers right now.
Now, you have, we said, 13 albums. When you do live shows, do people shout out songs that they want to hear? Because you can't play everything, clearly. Yeah, so he's Gump! And you go, oh, it's not the set tonight.
You know, not this tour. Albuquerque! Oh, sorry. Yeah, because, you know, the show's over two hours long easily. And, you know, we try to do stuff from the new album and all the hits and a few deep cuts. But there's always going to be somebody walking away disappointed that we didn't play their favorite song.
Yeah. How long has it been since you did Eat It? Is that when you...
We do that every show.
You do?
But
that's not the staple?
That's part of the medley. There's a medley in the middle of the show where we do like a dozen or so songs, like a verse and a chorus, just so you can say that you heard it, but you don't have to like wait through all of I Want a New Duck, you know?
You're worried about that one lasting?
Yeah.
You don't do In the Drive-Thru at full length, because that was a long one. Is it, like 11 minutes?
Yeah.
12 minutes?
Something like that.
That was one of the funniest things we ever saw, but there's no way you can play that live.
Well, it's feasible, and yet I don't think people would sit through it like, oh, it's a bathroom break song. Okay.
Concessions.
Yeah.
Well, here we are in the drive-thru line, me and her
Cars in front of us, cars in back of us, all just waiting to order.
11 minutes of that would be a little...
That's about as much as people want to hear live.
Oh, I see. That's what you do in a little
So
medley.
They can say, check that off the list. Yep, heard it. Heard it.
Can you listen to music anymore just to listen to it? Or do words start popping in your head when you hear a popular song?
I can
song?
Actually listen to the radio without always thinking, how can I screw this one up? You know?
How can I make this one about meat?
Yeah. How can I twist this into a lunch meat homage?
Now, is it difficult? I mean, do you find songs easily, just as easily now as you did 13 albums ago, because you're just parroting what's out there?
Well, yeah, it's harder for me because I'm trying to think of new ways to be funny, and if I can't make a song about food, what else can you write about, really? Yeah. So it becomes more limiting for me. So that's why I'm only releasing an album every several years now, because I'm waiting to make every album that I do the best album I've ever done.
Is it hard not to repeat yourself?
That's the problem. You've done so many songs. That is, in fact, the biggest problem for me, because I've done so many parodies. Coming up with new ways to be funny is always a bit of a challenge.
You should have tasted my lasagna.
That was my food era. That was my food phase.
You had a heavy food phase.
Yes.
Food
I was a starving artist for a long time, Kevin, so I was obsessed with it. I was obsessed.
All right, listen, we need to take another break. Weird Al is here. He's got a new DVD that's out now called Weird Al Yankovic Live.
The Alpocalypse Tour.
Yes.
Right.
And then...
that's from the Comedy Central special, right?
But it's so much more than that. The Comedy Central special, like 42 minutes and commercials, and this is the whole stinking show.
Oh, great.
Right. And then you also have the DVD Blu-ray Apocalypse HD.
Coming out on November 8th.
November 8th. And you're going to be at the City National Grove of Anaheim Friday, November 12th. Saturday, November 12th, you're going to be at the Pantages Theater in Los Angeles. Weird Al is here. If you'd like to ask him a question, we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067.
I'd like to ask him a question.
No.
You've asked him questions.
Damn it, come on.
You've asked most of them right now. Weird Al is in the studio with us. He's been hanging out. He's got two shows coming up in Southern California, and we're going to give you tickets to Saturday, November 12th at the Pantages Theater in Los Angeles if you get on the air and ask him a question. Al, you ready to talk to the peeps?
Let's do this.
All right. Let's go to Nicole first. Nicole, welcome to the
Hello.
Show. Hi.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning.
You're on with Al.
What's your question?
Have you ever parodied any songs that you hated?
Oh, songs that you hate.
That I try not to. I my personal taste doesn't enter into it when I'm deciding, because, you know, I just figure as long as it's popular, it's a good candidate. But I tend not to pick songs I dislike, because I know that I'll have to live with them for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't want to, like, you know, be performing a song on stage every night that drives me crazy. So I try not to.
Do you do the opposite and try to pick songs you like?
Yeah, in fact, I do.
Yeah. All right. Nicole, hang on. We're going to give you tickets.
The converse is true.
All right. Just checking. You never know. Let's go to Jason, who is calling for Weird Al. Hi, Jason.
Okay. Hey, what's up?
Okay.
Okay.
Who starts a phone conversation with okay?
He's serious. He means all business. Jason, what's your question?
What is the strangest request you've ever gotten from an artist who you've approached about parodying their song? Because I know, like, with Beverly Hillbillies, the original artist said, you can parody it, but I get to play guitar. Or, you know, Eminem said, no videos or anything like that. What's the strangest request you've gotten?
Well, you just picked two of my first two choices, so.
Thanks for answering your own question, Jason.
Do they put conditions sometimes on the parodies?
Usually not. But, I mean, that was kind of an interesting request from Mark Knopfler. He wanted to play guitar on my parody of the Dire Straits.
Okay. Yeah, well, if you have to, sure, I guess so.
That's awesome.
All right, Jason.
Can we get a Noah on line six, Kevin? Because this is a question I wanted to ask, too.
Noah, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You're on with Al.
Hey, Weird Al. UHF, all-time classic movie.
Yes.
When are we going to have UHF 2?
You know, I probably wouldn't be holding my breath right now.
you got all the momentum of the first one.
Yeah, you know, it's only been 20 years, so I'm waiting for it to reach a fever pitch.
That is an enormously fun film.
Well, thank you.
A lot
thank
of
you.
Baby hookers. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people have great memories of that and would like to see you do more in either a TV. Your TV show was great, too. But,
thanks.
You know, TV or film or something like that coming up.
If you ever run a major motion picture studio, call back and we'll set up a deal.
There you go. All right.
You'd be interested. You would do something
again. Sure. Okay. We'll do this.
Idea. He's not. All right. Let's go to Michael, who has a question. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Kevin and me. Lisa May. And
hello.
Hello. Hello.
What's your question? I feel bad. I already have tickets to the Pantages.
All right. That's fine. Just ask your question.
But I wanted to ask, because I've seen you a couple times in concert, Al, how long is your rehearsal process for a show like that? That is, it's such a big show.
Okay. It's all spontaneous. It's all ad-libbed.
Yeah. Wow.
We just get together the first night of the tour and say, what do you want to do? And then we just kind of wing it, pretty much.
All improv.
Somebody give me a chainsaw right now.
No.
All right.
Michael, who's got a fat suit?
I'm going to hang up.
I need a fat suit.
I'm just hitting
Hollywood
you now.
Toys and costumes and get me a fat suit.
I just get a fat suit. This is a strange question from Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
You have a strange question for Al. Go ahead.
All right. So with Michael Jackson being in current events and whatnot, the doctor trial, all that, do you feel the need to shy away from doing parodies of his songs in your performances? I know you did Fat as a cover to Bad or whatnot.
I still do it every night like we always have been. I mean, you know, we do all of Fat. We do Eat It in the Medley. You know, it's in my catalog of hits, and it's you know, the songs that people expect to hear, so we still do it.
Wait, so Fat gets the full treatment?
Gets the full treatment.
All right.
Because it's hard to do that in the medley because it's like, okay, for the next 35 seconds, I'll be wearing a fat suit.
Just squint and imagine me 200 pounds heavier. But I guess the parody songs sort of take on a life of their own at a certain point where they're not even really sort of connected up with the originals anymore.
In a way. And you always have to remember that, you know, when I do these parodies, they were with the full blessing of the artist. So it's not, certainly not intended in any disrespectful way or bad taste.
Right.
All right. I think we have one more pair of tickets to give away, and we have Matt on the line. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Al. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Big fan.
Thank you.
I wanted to know where you came up with the inspiration to write Albuquerque. That's by far my favorite song of yours. And like 10 years ago, me and my sister used to just die laughing, listen to it. Where did you come up with all that?
That was inspired by a lot of the rambling narrative songs from bands like the Rugburns and Mojo Nixon and George Thorogood. So I just wanted to do something of that style and just make it really irritating. I made it the last song of the album because I really thought people would only listen to it once and go, oh, never have to listen to that again. Yeah, but it wound up being a lot of people's favorite song.
All right.
Awesome. Listen to it on
repeat. Wow. There you go. The only one.
You're a sick man.
All right. Congratulations. You're going to the show. Hold on. You know what we should do? We should call Bean.
I think, since we're talking to fans, it would only be appropriate to give Bean a call.
He never answers his phone, and he's on vacation.
Well,
so
let's try it.
We'll leave him a message.
Okay.
I'm sure he'd love to hear from Al, even if it's just a message.
But it's important that we cut it off. Like, it can't be satisfying for Bean.
Oh, no. No, we got to burn him, right? Don't get me wrong. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to do anything nice for Bean.
So let's do a long setup where you and I talk, who he doesn't want
to
hear.
We'll throw it to Al.
And then as soon as Al starts talking.
Okay, you disconnect.
We'll disconnect.
Okay. Right. How's this going so far?
Good. All right. Muggs, how's this going so far?
Great.
All right.
Muggs dialed.
I don't trust Muggs dialing at all.
I dialed it?
Uh-huh. Ooh. Is that it?
That's one of those French ringtones.
Sounds like a European ring.
International ringtone. I like it.
Maybe he's having his calls forwarded. Make it sound big, though.
Okay.
Make it sound
is this a hotel? Is this a chateau?
Is this a cell phone.
Okay.
Cell phone. He never uses a cell phone.
Okay. Is it a world phone? No.
Hey, set it for four rings, a-hole. Come on. Give us a ring back tone or something.
Wow.
Are you sure you dialed that correctly?
He's in France.
It doesn't matter. This is his cell phone.
Cell phone.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Let's just assume it's him.
06.
Right. We don't want to leave the number.
473 is not available.
Hey, Bean, it's Kevin and Ralph and Lisa and Beer Mug, the whole crew. Yep. And we just want to leave you a message. Hope you have a great, you're having a great vacation.
We were thinking of you. We love you so much and we miss you so much. And we do have Weird Al here in the studio with us, and we know what a big fan you are. So we all thought we'd get together and give you a little gift while you're on vacation. We'd have Al leave you a little message. Apparently, he had something he really wanted to tell you, so we thought
he came in saying, I have to give Bean a message.
I'm so sorry Bean's not here. That's something I really need to talk to him about. So we figured we'd just put you guys together and let Al tell you what he needs to tell you.
So now for your listening pleasure, Bean, here's Weird Al.
Hey, Bean, it's Weird Al Yankovic. This is really important, man. I hope you don't mind me bugging you.
Hung up. So that message is all Ralph and I, which is not something he wants. And very little
Excellent.
Weird Al.
Very entertaining.
Al, you're the best.
Oh, no, you.
No, you.
Seriously, though, you.
Okay.
All right. Again, Friday, November 11th at the Grove of Anaheim, Saturday, November 12th at the Pantages Theater in Los Angeles. He puts on a hell of a live show, so make sure and see it. You can get the DVD that's out now, and there's another DVD coming out on November 8th.
Blu-ray.
He's chock full of product, is what we.
And there's
today.
13 albums. Buy them all. Just empty your life savings and buy everything Weird Al Yankovic you can think of.
And he was on How I Met Your Mother. We don't have time to talk about that, but that was funny.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, Al. We appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Song, Kevin's leaving the concert during the Foo Fighters.
Which
that
song.
That's when he's walking out.
Found that out.
The parking lot. We're talking about tomorrow. Write it down. Tomorrow we're doing a big break on
I
that.
Really? Think
yeah.
It's so yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the costume shop right now for Kim. Located at 746 West Doran Street off the 134 Freeway in Glendale. It has over 40,000 costumes.
It's gigantic.
And here's the upside is they don't just do the Halloween costumes that you see in plastic bags hanging on racks in the toy stores. This place is a functioning theatrical costume provider. So they do it for movies and TV shows and theatrical productions on stage. So these are the high-end real deal costumes.
That's Glendale!
That's the cool thing.
Yeah. So go by there. That's what we would recommend. They have great costumes. And don't wait until Monday or Saturday, whenever your parties are.
Yeah.
It's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Ah, Michael Owen. He's magic. You know, the more I find out about Lindsay's parents, the more sympathy I feel for her.
Yeah.
It's fun to make fun of her, and we're all, like, wishing her, you know, jail time and blah, blah, blah. But when you see who her parents are, between Dina and this bonehead, it's just...
She's a mess.
It's amazing she ever survived childhood. He, as I mentioned early this morning, had violated his... restraining order against his 28-year-old girlfriend, Kate Major. And then there was charges of domestic violence against her. So he was arrested this week, put into jail, and then he bailed himself out on Wednesday afternoon. So the first thing he does when he gets out is make a harassing phone call to Kate Major.
He must have just been, I can't physically wait until I get out of jail so I can do that again.
It's like a drug addict. He must have been jonesing to get on the phone to harass her. She calls the cops. They show up to take her statement, and while they're there, he calls again. She puts him on speakerphone, and the cops overhear this time the harassing phone call, so they go to the motel where he's at to pick him up for violating the judge's orders, which was to have no contact with Kate Major again. And when he sees them coming, he jumps off of a third-floor balcony in an attempt to escape.
I think I might try second floor. I might. But third floor...
I fell from a first floor balcony once.
Yeah, but you fell. If you're jumping, maybe you're more ready for it.
I don't know. It's high.
Yeah,
it's high. That's all I know. Three floors?
Three floors is crazy.
There was a brief pursuit on foot, according to police. Probably brief because he broke his foot when he jumped from the balcony.
There's not much of a pursuit.
He is currently now in the hospital. Once he gets cleared by doctors, he'll be back in jail, so...
Wow. What a mess.
Unbelievable.
This is a new story from 2 days ago.
Yeah. Justin Bieber was pulled over by cops in his Batman car. Oh, what a douchebag. Stories are on TMZ if you want to check out the pictures. He was cruising around with his friends in a three-car motorcade, so cops pulled them all over to see what was going on.
He's a douche.
They were let off with a warning. I don't know what they were doing that made them want to pull over, but maybe the fact they were all cruising together, whatever.
This is an obnoxious car.
Yeah. So they pull him over, and he's got his new Cadillac. He's got one of the CTS Vs, which I drove for a short while because they let me take a test drive.
Right.
It's a beautiful car. But what he did is he painted it that dull black, like that stealth bomber black, you know, that flat black finish. And he had somebody soup it up to look like a sort of pseudo-Batmobile. It's got a bat signal in the front, a bat signal in the back, where it would say Cadillac on the trunk. He had those letters removed and put Batmobile in those letters on the back of the trunk. And
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
And on the side doors, he's got a JB logo on each door.
Come on.
To make it what he calls his Batilac. See, because it's Cadillac, but if it's Bat.
Anybody that's that obsessed with Batman.
How dare you, sir?
He's crazy.
If he was really obsessed with Batman, he would have got himself a proper Batmobile, not this bastardized version of
a
Batmobile.
Which he could afford. He could have one built from the ground
up. He could have the real deal, not this half-assed Cadillac Batmobile, whatever. No, sir. No, sir.
Is he tall enough to drive, by the way?
I think they found him sitting on some phone books. Finally a use for the phone book again. Justin Bieber to sit on. Showtime has picked up Homeland for a second season.
Oh, I'm so happy. That's
a
great
good, show.
Good
show.
News for Homeland fans. Claire Danes, of course, Damian Lewis, Mandy Patinkin, all-star, but a rescued POW who may or may not have been turned by Al-Qaeda. Kevin, what do you think? Has he been turned?
All signs point to yes.
That's how they get you.
Man. Okay, but all signs point to yes, which makes me think no.
See?
So I don't know.
But is it really a show if it's no?
I don't know.
If, yeah,
it is if
that's
the real
answer.
One shows up and then there's some other shenanigans that goes on.
He's now working to find the person, but he can't tell anyone.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It's weird. Huh. I love it. That's one of the few that I've forced into my schedule and, you know, schedule be damned. I get rid of some other shows. It's so good.
Eddie Murphy is in the news. He's got that new movie Tower Heist coming out with director Brett Ratner and Ben Stiller as his co-star. And there were rumors that he and director Brett Ratner had talked about doing a Beverly Hills Cop 4 together. So Rolling Stone magazine asked him about it, and he said, no, none of the scripts have been right. He said people have tried to make a Beverly Hills Cop 4, but it just hasn't been working well. He said he would like to do a TV version, though. He'd like to produce a TV version.
I could see that.
Beverly Hills Cop. And it would star a young actor as Axel's son. And Axel Foley, Eddie's character, would be the chief of police in Detroit.
Well, that makes sense.
I'd do the pilot show up here and there, he said, but a younger actor would star as Axel Jr. and take over the franchise. So maybe a TV series in the works. And it looks like the Farrelly brothers, now that they finished The Three Stooges, are considering a sequel to Dumb and Dumber.
Wow.
What happened to these guys?
Because of the heat on that one?
What happened to these guys? Remember when they were funny?
Yes. Yeah.
No word on whether Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels would be interested in coming back or not, but...
Does it make me bad that I like Dumb and Dumber?
No, it was a very funny film.
Okay, good.
I don't know if we need a sequel for it.
Then?
Yeah. That it's time.
I don't know, maybe. Yeah. We need a sequel?
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe if they came back, if those guys came back, I would watch it again. Or if Jim Carrey had some penguins he was taking care of, then that would be a good film.
That would be good.
We need a movie with Jim Carrey and some penguins.
Done.
How come no one's thought of that?
Mr. Popper's Penguins or something.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Cleese of Monty Python's Flying Circus, 72 years old today. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran is 53 years old. Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots and Velvet Revolver is 44. Kelly Osbourne turns 27 years old today. And Andrew Bynum, center for Los Angeles Lakers, 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We're going to talk to Lake Bell in a minute.
Yes, we are.
And Dave's in the office going, so, tell me more about your life.
So, Lack Bow.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, we know, Dave. It's not your fault.
We were supposed to talk to her a week ago, and that got messed up.
Right.
Yeah. And we blame
but
that
this
on
time,
Dave.
It's for real.
This time
it's going to happen. He said, hopefully.
She's going to be on The New Girl this coming Tuesday.
Oh, she
finally
is?
Coming back. Finally.
She is a phenomenon because usually women who look like her aren't funny because you don't have to be.
Yeah.
If you grow up looking like her, you sort of have the world at your feet and you don't have to work too hard. Usually it's the unattractive of us who have to come up with comedy because you have to try to find a way to fit in.
To make up for the fact that you don't look good.
Make yourself popular by being funny or being outgoing or whatever. So she's the whole package right there.
She's on Children's Hospital, which is so great too as well. There she is. All right, Dave's done talking to her. Lake Bell, good morning.
You guys, I can hear you. Oh. I can hear you talking about me.
Can you?
Sorry.
Well, then let's start with that question then. You are a tremendously funny, talented actress, and yet you also are spectacularly good looking. How does that happen? That's a rarity.
This is going great. I love this interview.
Well, no, we were talking about hot girls don't have to be funny or interesting because they're hot. And then the other people have to be funny because they're not hot. So you don't get the mixture much.
Okay. All right. I mean, my parents were divorced. I mean, maybe that contributed
to trauma.
So childhood trauma. Wow, you're going to bring this right down.
That?
What?
No, I want to really get into issues, guys.
That is Lisa May. We'd
rather
let's get deep.
So
I want to get real with you.
Okay.
Did you start performing young at a young age, Lake?
I did. Yeah. No, for sure. I had like a little precocious, annoying procrastination tool before going to bed called the Lake Show.
Lake Show.
Yeah, that I would do where they'd be like, okay, it's time for bed, and then I'd be like, wait, but this show first. You know, and then I would just like start dancing and like get props and be like, so here we are at the Lake Show. I want to welcome everyone. They're like, you're three, you're going to bed.
Did you have a monologue or bring guests out?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And it would always be, like, some reluctant, like, person who was over for a dinner party who would be like, can we not be
Let's
a part of the show?
This.
Can we just be cute and small and then go to bed?
My first guest is my mom tonight. Mom, how's it going? Go to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's here from out of town? Who's here from out of town? Let me see a show of hands.
From Philadelphia.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please. Okay. You
go, Kevin.
No, you go.
I was going to say, you're on Children's Hospital, which is one of our favorites here. We love that show so much.
Awesome.
It's really bizarre.
I'm glad you hear that.
It's on late at night. It's like 12 minutes long. I don't know, but it's just everything about it is so funny. And Rob Corddry is so funny. And how did you get hooked up on that show?
Well, first of all, thank you, because I am a fan of that show as well, even though I'm on it, which is sort of gross, but it's so fun to work on. And Corddry and I did What Happens in Vegas together, and that's where we met, and we were sort of each other's nemesis / lovers in that movie. And then after sort of like profusely making out with each other in disgusting ways in Vegas in that movie, we decided, you know, he sort of called me up. He was like, hey, you want to do something else profusely disgusting? And I was like, yes, I do.
I would
like to be a part of that.
I like that profusely disgusting was part of the pitch.
Oh, yeah, always. I mean, that's how you get me to say yes. It's the name of my company and probably my autobiography.
I like it. Now, how'd you get hooked up with this HBO show, How to Make It in America?
How to Make It came around. I initially just, in the pilot, they needed someone to play, you know, I like auditioned to be like the ex-girlfriend of the Brian Greenberg character. And from that point, then they were like, hey, you want to be a series regular when I got picked up? And I was like, yeah, probably, pretty much, yes.
Probably. I don't know, I'll get back to you.
I was like, yeah, let me think about it. Yes, how about that? Because you mean you shoot in New York and I get to like look cool and wear nice outfits and like hang out with people, basically, where I would be hanging out with anyway. So then, you know, that's how it happened, and I'm lucky to be there.
And it's kind of cool that Rachel, your character, also is a girl who doesn't have it all together. I mean, she doesn't have all the answers. She's trying to find herself, I guess, right?
Indeed. You're like Rachel also.
Yes, also.
Have it together. A lot like you.
Well, I'm saying she's also hot. No. Rachel also happens to be hot, much like yourself, and yet she doesn't have the world by the ass either, is what I'm saying.
No, for sure. I'm razzing you. She definitely is in a state of purgatory pretty much always. She doesn't know how to sort of navigate how to move forward from where she is, so she's just sort of exploring all different doors. And it's really fun to play because, you know, it's fun to play somebody who's kind of falling on their face all the time and trying to act cool and have some, you know, insecurities and things like that. I find that really funny.
I sense a theme. I'm just saying. I sense a theme with everything she
does.
Yeah,
there's a theme. There's definitely. I mean, even in No Strings Attached, you know, playing someone intensely insecure, I find female insecurity quite ripe for disaster and fun.
Tell me about working with Kid Cudi, who, you know, I know from music, but he's a good actor as well. Tell me about what he's like.
Is this where you're gently trying to get to the point where
you're nude
in the
movie? Yes, you're nude. Yeah.
I mean, we could just get there.
Okay. You're way naked with him.
Yeah. With Kid Cudi, yes. Yeah.
That's not really a question, but that's all we have.
No.
So you just go with it.
You're naked.
It's good. You're naked. It's good. I need meat. I don't know. It's a caveman thing.
Wow. Kevin just came out with sort of a... That's not what I meant. No, you know that. Bit of a confession.
No, I get it. I'm vegan. But listen. You know, it was crazy. I mean, Kid Cudi, first of all, he is incredibly respectful and awesome, and he and I have had a lot of scenes together this season thus far. And, you know, he's a freaking talented musician, and then, you know, rolls in, and he's just an awesome, natural actor. And smooching and making out with him is totally cool. He's a friend of mine, and, you know, he was very respectful in the big nudity scene.
Sure.
I just made sure that my face was making a good... you know, was soft and attractive because I knew it would be like freeze framed and fucking. Oh, I just said a bad word.
That's all right. We caught it. It's okay.
But I would also like to point out that no one was looking at your face.
Oh, Kevin, stop it.
I'm just saying.
No, they freeze. What they do is they freeze frame when you're booby, and then you just want to make sure your face isn't pulling like a dumb, you know.
That's smart.
That happens because I do a lot of that.
Yeah, that's going to be a screensaver. You want to look as attractive as possible is what you're saying.
That's what I'm trying to say to you.
You have the naked screensaver in mind as you're doing the scene.
I like that.
Oh yeah, totally, totally. Are you kidding? Like on Surface, I was in like a, I was in my underwear once, and I was pulling faces like, we gotta get out of here, you know, and like. It was like that sort of survival phase where right. like all the muscles in your face are scrunched up and your mouth is open and your nose looks weird and the
right.
whole nine.
Yeah.
And then that's what gets frozen. You
it's
know what
not
I mean?
A good freeze frame look.
Yeah. So now for this, I was like, if I'm going to get the ladies out, I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm going to like purse my lips. I'm going to get some cheekbone action.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I'm going to soften those out. You know what I mean? So I was like, look, for the kids, let's do this right.
I appreciate that you're giving that much to that scene. That's what I appreciate
Listen,
about you.
Listen, what I'm saying is I'm not acting at all during
I see.
That moment.
Yeah. and you're also going to be on The New Girl this coming... Is it Tuesday night that comes back?
Oh, crap. That's right. Wait, because that moved because of the...
It did move because of baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah, baseball.
I America. Think it's this Tuesday, I and I think it's November 1st, and I think you're in
You're the guest episode. Star of that episode.
That's what we're being told.
I am, and I think it's called... I think it's called Naked.
Naked.
The episode's called Naked.
That seems to be a theme.
Yeah, people get naked in it.
Yeah. I like it.
So there's a theme in your career.
I don't know what's going on. There is. I know. This is not good. My dad's not pleased.
Well, come on now. I heard an interview with you where you were saying this is the year of you being naked, except for a good old-fashioned orgy in which you don't get naked, which everybody would probably...
It's ridiculous. Probably. <injustice. laughs>
Right. There'll be a lot of complaints lodged to Netflix when people get that film, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's, you know, there's racy stuff, but there's not, there's no nudity, really.
Yeah, we got freaking Tyler Labine naked, but you're clothed.
No, he keeps it on. He keeps it in a banana hammock.
Good. That's an outrage if it happened.
No, Labine is foxy there. I smooch it up with Labine in that movie.
I can't go with Labine as foxy. I'm fine with you, but I don't know about Labine.
Look, to each his own.
I hear you.
To each his own.
If I was going to pick an animal to compare him to, a fox would not be it, though. Maybe bear. Aww. Bear, I think, maybe.
Well, we love him. Look, we love him. It's just, it's a different thing when you see a dude naked. That's all. All right.
I know. And look, you're a dude. And
correct.
For me, I'm a lady.
All right.
He's hilarious. And I like him. I keep wanting to curse. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
You got a potty mouth.
Guys.
You do have a potty mouth.
I do.
It's all right. That's part of the reason why you're like. All right. Lake Bell, How to Make It in America is the TV show. It's on HBO on Sunday nights at 10:30. You're currently in the middle of season 2. And that's a great show. And we appreciate you coming on the show today. And talking
about
being nude.
Listen, I do what I can.
And I look forward to the Late Lake show soon.
Yeah, and the New Girl, I guess, comes when it's Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday, I think there's more nudity in that as well.
All right. Great. Good stuff.
Fantastic.
So, enjoy.
Keep it up. Thank you, Lake.
Keep up the good work.
Yay! Hey!
No, I guess that doesn't really fit.
I don't think on that song.
No.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:45. If you'd like a pair of tickets to the K-Rock Dead Man's Ball, call now 1-800-520-1067. It is this Saturday at the LACMA, and it's going to be a Halloween costume ball featuring the genius of Tim Burton and a live performance by She Wants Revenge. You can call right now. Be caller 20, and you'll win, and we would also point you to the costume shop, which is where we all get our costumes.
Yes.
It's located at 746 West Durand Street at just off the 134 freeway in Glendale, and they are the real deal. Not the little plastic bag where they put together a witch costume.
And get an eye patch and a parrot, and they tell you, now you're a pirate. Go nuts.
And it's crap, and it falls apart like halfway through the night.
This is what the studios use in TV and films and on stage. These are real costumes. You'll be very impressive if you go to the costume shop.
So check that out. Right now it is time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
No, right now it's time for Halloween freaking spooks.
No, but seriously.
While we're talking about Halloween.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on. Come on, Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross.
Hit it.
Halloween.
What's going to happen?
Ghostly things are going to happen.
Somebody go, ooh-ah.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah. Halloween spooks.
Where?
Outside my window. Halloween spooks.
Where?
Behind the tree. I wish that the children could see.
Where are they?
But I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks.
Where?
Outside my window pane.
Yeah.
So. There's a guy in the middle of the
song. A monkey
going,
getting here.
That's happening.
Maybe he's dressed as a monkey for Halloween. Here's a ghost.
Overruled.
Scary ghost.
It's not scary.
It's scary.
You know what it's not?
Scary. Oh no.
Gargling.
What's she doing? Stop that. Stop making that noise.
She is on the business end of something battery operated.
On that note, let's get into the show business.
Come on! It's only half over.
Yeah, it's too much. Too far. We've played too much. Boy, that song blows.
It's awesome. Maybe for Halloween you're going to go as Marilyn Monroe. Very popular costume for the sexy ladies.
Seems like an all-time costume.
Put on that that white dress she wore when that subway blows up her skirt.
Mm-hmm.
Put on the blonde wig. Can't do better than that. Michelle Williams is playing Marilyn Monroe in a new movie called My Week with Marilyn. Getting rave reviews for her performance.
She's good. She's a good actress.
You know who's most impressed by the performance?
Who?
Marilyn herself.
How do we know?
Because a psychic.
Marilyn's dead.
Has come forward and told the National Enquirer that the psychic spoke to Marilyn Monroe and that she approved of what Michelle Williams was doing and thought she did a really good job.
Well, that's good news.
That is good news. You want the dead person to be happy with your performance.
Sure.
Yeah. Ray Charles, on the other hand, said Jamie Foxx can lick it, which I thought was inappropriate. Not nice at all. Justin Bieber was pulled over by cops in his Batman car.
Yeah.
He's got a brand new Cadillac that he had tricked out to look sort of, kind of like the Batmobile.
What a douchebag that guy is, and anybody else that likes Batman.
Hey, hey, hey. There's no comparison between those of us who are truly Batman fans and this pseudo Batmobile he's thrown together.
He's a douche.
Took a Cadillac, had it spray painted the flat black, had a bat signal put on the front and the back, had the word Batmobile written on the back of the trunk. Has a JB logo on each door on the driver and passenger side.
So he's trying to go low pro?
Yes, he's trying to stay under the radar. Apparently the CHP didn't think he was traveling low pro enough, pulled over his car and two others. He and his friends were apparently cruising around in a three-car motorcade very close together, and the cops wanted to know what was up.
Can they give a ticket out for douchebaggery?
I believe that is a felony count in this state. Hope he's doing some hard time. Batalac. He calls it the Batalac.
Lame.
Ugh. And while we're talking about douchebags, Michael Lowen's back in the news. First, he was arrested in Tampa, Florida for violating a restraining order against him by his girlfriend, Kate Major, 28 years old.
And that was just a couple days, two, 3 days ago, right?
Right. He was arrested for violating that and for charges of domestic violence. So then he bails up and he gets released. And the first thing he does when he gets out is make a harassing phone call to his girlfriend. She calls the cops to complain. They show up to take her statement, and while they're there, he calls again. She throws it up on the speakerphone. They hear it, and then they go to arrest him at his motel where he was reportedly staying. According to a police report, he spotted the officers and jumped off a third-floor balcony in an attempt to escape.
Wow.
He made a run for
he
it.
He did.
Well, he made a...
So crazy.
He jumped. He didn't run. He broke his foot.
Yeah, he's currently in the hospital. And once the doctors clear him, apparently he will be headed back to jail. Lohan is saying that Kate Major set him up.
Yeah?
To be overheard by the police. He said, she called me. She said she needed help. So I'm a sucker. I call her back. I'm an idiot. And that's when the cops heard him call, because she set him up to have him call her. That evil woman.
You liar!
That need to be louder or softer?
He's going to be in front of a judge again for violating the judge's orders, which at the time of the first arrest were, look, just leave her alone. Do not contact this Kate Major.
I think if I'm that judge, I say, I don't care if she called you.
Right.
No matter what she does.
You're not supposed to call her back.
Don't call her back. Here's your end of the conversation. Nothing.
Fail. Epic fail.
Sylvester Stallone is being sued. A writer is claiming that Sly copied his screenplay to make The Expendables. Who would take credit for the screenplay of The Expendables?
Guy's you should name just is, give it to him.
Guy's name is Marcus Webb. He said he filed his screenplay and his short story called The Cordoba Caper with the U.S. Copyright Office before he tried to show it around to various producers in 2006. The movie was made in 2009, and his lawsuit claims there can be no dispute that Stallone had access to and copied protectable elements of the screenplay.
Hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see. Speaking of lawsuits, did you happen to catch a documentary this week on ESPN about Chuck Wepner?
No.
Chuck Wepner is, well, the title of the documentary was The Real Rocky.
Oh.
Because Chuck Wepner was a ham-fisted, slow sort of club fighter who was a heavyweight contender back in the 70s. Fought Ali for the title.
Just, that wasn't fiction?
His name was the Bleeder from Bayonne. The Bayonne Bleeder.
Right.
Because he was a white guy who just had paper skin and he would get nicked and just gush blood.
I don't think of a Bleeder as part of your nickname.
Yeah, it's not a great fight name. You don't put that in the back of your robe.
Bleeder.
So the Bayonne Bleeder gets into the ring with Muhammad Ali, who had just taken the title back from George Foreman. And Ali decides he's going to give a white guy a chance to sell tickets. He's going to put a white guy on the fight card. And so Chuck goes the distance with Ali when everyone said there's no way he can last.
No kidding.
And Stallone saw that fight when he was a starving actor and came up with the idea for the screenplay of Rocky. So for years, Stallone tells the story how the Chuck Wepner fight inspired him to write Rocky.
Okay.
And Wepner finally says, hey, you've made $1 billion off this franchise. Have a little something-something for old Chuck here, who's now, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and he's selling liquor for a living, you know?
But just now? I mean, now he's done like 17 Rocky movies?
This happened a couple years ago.
Oh, all right.
Well, they had become friends, sort of.
Huh.
And things kept going on and on and on. Wepner's like, wow, this guy really is just stealing from my life and just not giving me anything. Like, for example, remember the Rocky 3 where... Rocky takes on Hulk Hogan, Thunderlips, or whatever that character was.
The wrestler. It was Thunderlips, but yeah.
I think it was.
It was Thunderlips?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Wrestler versus boxer, right?
Yeah.
Years before, Chuck Wepner, as his career was coming to an end, fought Andre the Giant.
No kidding.
In the ring. And so Stallone based that part of Rocky III on that part of Wepner's life. So he had been cannibalizing Wepner's life for years. And Wepner finally said, you know what? I think I deserve a little something. So it was a great documentary, those parallel stories and what happened. And they actually ended up settling out of court because it looked like the judge was going to go his way.
So he got some cash.
Yeah. All right, I'm out of time. Real quickly, birthdays. John Cleese is 72. Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran is 53. Scott Weiland turns 44 years old today. Kelly Osbourne is 27. And Andrew Bynum of the Lakers is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have people who dress their pets up for Halloween.
Lisa, don't look at me. Lisa. He only looks like a hot dog. Lisa.
Don't do that, people. Cousin Sal will be back with his NFL picks, and Ralph will be here with the movie beat as it is Friday, and we have David Alan Greer.
Oh, cool.
Funny man, David Alan Greer, as well. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.